This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It is May 6th, post-Cinco de Mayo hangover. It's brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody?
Oh, you did it!
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Wednesday.
That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy. Wednesday, I
guess. Oh my God, that makes me so incredibly happy. We're only about 2 years late behind the trend of Mike, but you did it! I'm so excited, that was great!
I'm not too sure about the pony guy thing, but the rest of it's good, I think.
That's perfect. You are kind of the geeky pony guy. I love it. And I'm that girl, and I can just own it. Just own it, Glenn. You know, whatever.
Well, you know, we have to wait until it isn't overdone. You know, it's being overused. So we have to give it enough time, so now it's special again. See?
It's not old. You know what?
Special.
I think you're right. It just makes me think of a camel walking down through, through some office park. So I love it. Good job. Perfect.
You're welcome.
I forgot what I was going to say. I just got distracted. You have to tell me these new things are coming.
I love throwing new openers at you. It's kind of a thing now that I have is trying to get you with new openers. But then I have to try and make sure you're paying attention because sometimes you ain't paying attention in the morning. So.
Well, you know, I'm kind of still on my first cup of coffee. So really, the mic really woke me up a little bit. So I appreciate it.
I'm glad. I'm so glad.
I'm having one of those days. Like as soon as we're done with the show here, I am taking the baby to the airport during nap time to put him on an airplane. And you know what? I would like to send a shout out to everybody.
Well, wait a minute. Let's stop there. Are you sending the baby someplace by himself?
No.
Oh, because you said I'm putting him on an airplane. I was going, wow, he's a little young to be traveling alone, isn't he?
Yes. I am putting him on an airplane, and wherever he goes. No, so I would just like to send out, it is 6:03 a.m. in the Phoenix area, and there's going to be a lot of people getting on that flight from Phoenix to Oklahoma City, and I would just like to send out an apology already this morning because it's going to be ugly. He doesn't have his own seat yet, you know, he's like at that age. And so we're flying Southwest. So at some point, somebody's going to have to decide to sit next to us. And I just feel sorry for that person. I just apologize.
That's why if I know I'm going a long distance on Southwest, I pay the $12 to get put into the front of the line. That's exactly why.
It's not a long flight, though. Somebody might have wanted to do that.
But then you do risk the person coming in and sitting next to you anyway. I mean, you got your seat, but you have no control over who sits next to you. So, yeah, you do still have that risk.
Mm. Now, I feel like as a mother, my job is to go straight to the back of the plane and by the bathrooms and just sit there and pray that nobody sits next to me. But
where
as you know,
the smoker section used to be way in the back,
exactly.
Where the smokers used to sit.
I'll sit by the toilet where there's cigarette burns on the seats. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? but you know what? I just woke up this morning and I was like, oh, wow, nap time. Flying, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be scream fest. And I just feel sorry for that person who has to sit next to me. Thank God Chad's coming.
Oh, is Chad coming along? So you can put the baby in the middle then, right? Sort of.
Yeah, but I don't pay for that seat. So if they fill up the plane, somebody's going to take that seat.
You know, you could get lucky. The last two flights I've had, literally, I've had about 10 people on them.
Wow, that
I don't know
happen.
How I did that, but literally I had the whole row to myself. I was able to spread out. So
that never happens when I'm on an airplane. Ugh.
No, me neither. But if that does happen, I'll say, Lucas, enjoy your row. See you later. Dad and I are going to go sit up front.
There you go. Leave it in the back.
Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we will enjoy a visit from Bunny Sexton and hear all about her amazing first trip around the only four-star event in the United States. That's Rolex. She was one of the rookies from over the weekend and had a great time. And then next up, Uncle Jimmy of Hangin' Balls fame is going to stop by with an update on what he's up to. And sliding to a stop to thunderous applause, the European Report from the velvet voice of Horse and Country TV, Victoria Spicer. So stay tuned for the parade, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. It is Daily Winnie time. Happy birthday goes out to Colleen Peachy of Pennsylvania. She is a product reviewer for Eventing Nation and also comes on the Stable Scoop radio show to review products with us and an avid listener of Horses in the Morning, and her sister. So happy birthday to you. We hope you have an absolutely wonderful day.
Well, I have two, Glenn. My first one is going to go out to a listener. Her name is Claudia, and she messaged me yesterday, and she and I were chatting back and forth, and she just wanted to let me know that it is basically all my fault that she bet on Dortmund and lost money at the Derby. She wasn't even a racing fan before she started listening to our show. So she says, I listen to your podcast in my car a lot, and it's your fault I started to get into racing. I had money on Shared Belief at Santa Anita 2. Please don't tell my husband. Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
She hasn't been listening close enough because we do give a disclaimer every time that says, do not bet what we do. You will lose.
Well, the good news is Shared Belief did win, but Dortmund did lose. So every once in a while, it's like, you know, every once in a while, golfers hit that really good shot, which makes you golf more. It's like that with gambling with me. Sure. Every once in a while, I'll hit a really good shot and I'll go, oh, I'm good at this. I should keep playing. It's a bad idea. Don't listen to what we say.
Well, you know, I think if there's one addiction, and I know this about myself, so I've never allowed myself to do it, but, you know, I don't drink really. I don't drink at all anymore and don't smoke or any of that stuff. But gambling, I could be addicted to. I could sit at a blackjack table for days on end. I do know that.
I do know that too. And I have done it. And you know what? It's definitely something. That's why the app and my phone has got to go. Eventually, I will delete that app. At some point.
As soon as you spend all the money in your account, is that what it is?
Well, I kind of have to add more to my account than the rest of it. So, but you know what? I think I have like a $2 bet left in my account. So I'll have to wait.
You do know this is why Jennifer and I have never let us go to Vegas together. You do know that, right? I mean, this is why.
You know what? My chest is getting tight realizing that I still have... I have that app. I need to just delete it. It's like somebody who has a drug addiction and they've got just a pile of drugs sitting in the other room and they're like, I can kick it. I don't need those. And then they like keep walking by the door.
Yeah, like, it's time for it to go. That's why I never downloaded it in the first place. See, that's why I never did it. I was good. I know.
Let me be your lesson. Let me be your lesson. Well, I have another winning.
I'll be your, what's that called in AA? I'll be your
sponsor.
Sponsor. I'll be your sponsor. Okay.
You're a terrible sponsor. Are you kidding me? You'd be a terrible. My second daily winnie goes out to Emily Thompson, who, God love her.
Emily.
She makes me look good. And how I mean is, you know what? She gave me that as equestrian. She sent it to me a while ago. I think probably because she felt sorry for me with how really bad my show clothes were. She sent me one of those S Equestrian shirts, and it is so nice and so beautiful. And so I wear it pretty much all the time, anytime I go anywhere. And finally, I think she just really felt sorry for me and sent me the show coat, the S Sport Jacket.
It's
the most amazing piece of equipment, a piece of attire. I mean, it's nicer than my wedding dress. Like, I'm supposed to be able to throw this in the washing machine. It is so nice and beautiful and tailored, and the buttons are gorgeous. And it is seriously the nicest piece of show equipment. That, I mean, it's nicer than it. Like, it's nicer than my horse. So I think everything to match. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you so much to Emily for feeling sorry for the homeless girl out in Phoenix who looks so terrible when she shows, and now you're just making me look good.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even think you're special, because I don't even think those are on our website yet. I don't even think they're there yet. So
no,
you're pretty special.
I think I'm a test subject, but when you are ready for a show coat, you guys go look at the S Equestrian. Oh my gosh, it is so beautiful. It is such a nice piece of fabric, and I just feel like I wish it was winter so I could just wear it out.
And I assume those are made in America, like the shirts and stuff. I think she has everything made in America there in New York. So, yeah, it's going to be top quality for sure.
It's really nice. So thanks, Emily. I love you. I love you so much. I love you.
She set a record for number of guests in one episode yesterday.
Really?
She's
good.
She had about 25 guests. If you missed yesterday's show, it was a fun show. Head over there to Horses in the Morning and catch yesterday's show. Emily does a good job planning the shows. That's for sure.
She does.
But she's out of control, Glenn.
Yeah, she is kind of out of control. We actually had to cut one because we didn't have time for one of the guests, because apparently I talked too long. So
we do not have to have every single member of the jumping community on every show.
Every month.
Let's limit
it
to
probably
a dozen.
Spread
or so.
It out a little.
Yeah.
She does a good job. Well, we're going to start something new today, Jamie. It's called Would You Rather Wednesday. It's Would You Rather Wednesday. We're going to try and do one of these each Wednesday. We'll do a couple today, just get everybody in the mood for what it is. But it's Would You Rather Wednesday. Jennifer came up with these. This is the equestrian edition. And, you know, everybody's played that game, Would You Rather. Usually it's Would You Rather Liam Neeson or, you know, some other hot guy. You know, it's that, that's the would you rather you usually hear. Well, this is
the
question.
Come on, finish that. I want to hear who is the other would you rather between Liam Neeson.
I don't know. Would you rather Liam Neeson or Leonardo DiCaprio?
Okay. That's not even a, that's not even a thing.
Okay.
Like,
that's
you,
apples
that's
oranges.
Not even.
Yeah. So, who's
that's
the other
why
actor?
I wanted to know.
Okay, yeah, see, that's not even close. Who do you put in with Liam Neeson and make it close?
Captain Kirk? I don't know.
Like, no, have you seen him lately? No.
That's right. No. I would rather Liam Neeson in that one. So there you go. I just wanted to answer the question.
All right, so these are the equestrian version. Now, these are tough, so you have to think here. Would you rather have a world-class equine and no automobile of any kind? Or have the newest and best truck and trailer and a world-class horse that had a lameness issue?
Do I have any other horses?
No, this is it.
Because I can take some pretty
and
non-world-class
no, your husband
class
doesn't
horses.
Have a car but... either, so no automobile.
Oh, seriously, that's the way it says, no automobile or... Gosh, I'm so competitive. I don't know. I'd love to show. I do. I'm going to go with this Wednesday game is not going to work for me. I can't make decisions
it's
like
not
this.
A contest, Jamie. You don't have to compete.
I'm going to go with we could treat the lameness issue, and I'm going to go with the truck and trailer and a good vet.
I got to say I'm with you because I'm going, you know what? If I got a world-class horse, I need him to come down to my level. And if he's a little bit lame, then we're probably good for each other. You know? But I have a damn nice truck and trailer. That's what I got. I'm figuring a little bit of a lame world-class horse is perfect for me. I don't need one that's
for you
found.
Especially, yeah.
I would die, so
it
I'm
was,
happy
that.
With
was that. Well thought out. That was well thought out. Good answer.
All right.
Much better
would
than
Would you
mine.
Rather understand what your horse is saying, like Mr. Ed, or get free training and lessons for life with the coach of your choice?
Oh, my gosh. You know, if you would have asked me when I had Jet, I would have said free lessons with a coach because I really never wanted to know what Jet had to say. Like, I thought about it. like when Anna Twinney was going to read it, they were like, pick a horse for her to read. And I'm like, I don't want to know what he has to say. I really don't. He's, bless his heart, I'm just going to leave him alone. But I think with Thor or Edward, I would rather know what they have to say. So I'm going to go with that.
You know, I would kind of pick that one too, only because, see, my theory is if Scooter talked, I could make a fortune and then get the lessons I want anyway.
He's all about the business. All about the, how can I make money?
you got a talking horse, you're going to make money, right? I mean, you can do commercials. You got all kinds of things you can do. So,
What if he only talked to you? Like, what if, like, Mr. Ed?
He only talked to one person.
You know what Wilbur. They didn't have back in Mr. Ed's time in the 1950s? Was a cell phone with a video on it. That's what they didn't have back then.
You're so practical. You take all the fun out of this.
We haven't asked Jennifer's opinion on these. So would you take talking Beaker or the free lessons? I think I'd know the answer.
Definitely talking Beaker.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd never shut up. He would be on the trail just talking away.
He would.
No, that
You're
would
right.
be P.T. Scooter talking nonstop.
Yeah, would. And Beaker would be going, will you shut up, kid?
You know what Beaker would sound like? Beaker would sound exactly like Clint Eastwood. Hey, yeah, that's a speaker. It'd be a Clint Eastwood movie.
I just see you guys walking on the trail, and he's like, wow, that is such a pretty tree. I love the leaves. And, oh, look at the grass. Gosh, I would love to have a bite of that. But you know what? We've got really good grass in the pasture, and I just want to let you know that I know you really work hard to keep the pasture good, and I really like it. And as we're going down, like, the sun is, oh, my God, look at that cloud. Did you see the bird? It's so pretty. That is exactly what he would do. You're surprised. You're going to be surprised.
All right. Would you rather get a different world-class horse every year with owners who pay you tons of money or be given for free one amazingly good horse that you have to ride for his entire career on your own dime?
Well, let's just go ahead and point out that I don't have a dime, so I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with the world-class horse every year with owners that pay me tons of money. Because then I could have lots of non-world-class horses on my own dime. And then one really, anyway, that's what I would go with.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna go the other way because I don't really want to compete. So I'm going to go the other way and say the amazingly good horse. If I could get the first pony I had, if I could get Piper back, for another 10 years, I would do that in a minute because that was the most trustworthy, fun pony I've ever had. So, yeah, I would definitely do that. I would take option B.
Okay.
Jennifer?
I would totally get a new world-class horse every year. Totally.
Good, I'm glad I'm not the only one. He made me feel kind of shallow, but you sucked me right back out of that hole.
No, I appreciate it.
All right, now, I got one for you that I did, non-horsey. This one's tough. Would you rather have no internet or no cell phone? Now, if you have a cell phone, you still can't get on the internet. You have no data.
See, this one's an easy one for me. I mean, it would suck either way. Like, if this were to happen, it would really suck that we had no internet or no cell phone. But I spent the majority of my life with no internet and no cell phone, but I still used a phone. And I remember having, do you guys remember, and kids out there, if you don't, I hate you. Remember sitting on the phone next to the wall? You had to be next to the wall to talk on the phone, not because the cell service was better by the window, because you were attached to the wall. I sound like my mom when there was like, you know, we only had two channels.
I remember too, I don't know if you had this, but I remember when they made the curly cords for your cell phone, for your home phone, that were like 80 feet long, and they finally came out with curly cords that were like 25 feet long, so you could actually get more than 2 feet away from the phone. It was so nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Radio Shack. All that stuff was at Radio Shack, which is why Radio Shack is all closed now. They had curly cords.
I got the best answer yet for this. Uta, our listener, who's listening right now, said, no cell phone because I need the internet to keep up with you guys.
Oh,
love that girl.
That's a great answer. How can you top that answer, right?
Pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. All right. Well, that's Would You Rather Wednesday. And we posted one of those on our Facebook page. So you can, we'll also post them up there and see what kind of answers we get up there as well. I have a news story here that I need. This is sort of great to follow that with, because I need you to go to the news section of our show notes, Jamie. And this guy that's 44 years old in England who won the lottery, he won £148 million, which is like a zillion dollars. And so he wins the lottery, and he then decides to split from his wife. So he's 44 years old, and I need you to go to the link, and I need you to look at the pictures of the pictures there, okay, while I'm telling the story, because I have a question for you, and it involves me being judgmental, okay? So the lottery winner, he wins $148 million, or pounds, and he shortly, you know what I'm going to ask. He shortly after, you know, gets rid of his wife and says, you're out of here. I got all this money. I can do better than you. He goes to a bar one night, and he meets this 28-year-old who's a horse girl. And he meets this 28-year-old horse girl. Well, less than a short year later, it is now his fiance, 28-year-old fiance, and he has bought her a $1.5 million horse farm on a 35-acre site in Norfolk, as well as a $100,000 horse box, you know, those massive horse boxes they drive around horse trailers. And he also has bought 20 horses for her. So now you take a look at her picture there in the bikini there, Jamie, and then you take a look at him. And I know I'm judgmental. It's one of my issues. And I should go to Judgmental People Anonymous, but he's kind of a big guy, like not real attractive and very big. And she's this hot 28-year-old horse chick who doesn't have an ounce of fat on her. Was it love or was it money?
Glenn, there is nothing wrong with somebody falling in love with somebody who looks like Tony Soprano. I mean, it happens.
He does look like Tony Soprano. He really does. He kind of does look like Tony Soprano.
I am sure that his 148 million pounds had nothing to do with the fact that she wants to wrap herself around that. And you know what? Bless her heart. Maybe she loves him. I'm going to say that a former postman, that's a mailman in our country, that had a wife and was stable and was doing, yeah, like he wins the lottery and dumps his wife, and it's so cheesy. Like, really? Now you're gonna go and you're gonna have some girl half your age? Really? I guess it still happens, but whatever.
Okay, so we can make a would you rather out of this. I think, would you rather have
I don't want to, well, I can't do it.
I was coming up with a good would you rather too. It's would you rather have this guy who kind of looks like a fat Tony Soprano with his $148 million or Liam Neeson, and you're absolutely broke and you're living in a tiny little apartment eating ramen noodles every day.
What is your fascination with Liam Neeson?
How about we go with Helmsworth?
So wait, I get this guy and $148 million or Thor and nothing else? I'll take
and
Thor.
And nothing else.
Okay. I'll take Thor.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
I mean, that's not even a question. I'm really actually a little nauseous. You know what? I'll just take my own life and leave those guys alone. I'm pretty happy right now. I'm tired of looking at this guy. I got to exit this out. Ugh. Okay. I just think that somebody who does that, ugh, is so gross. So gross.
Yeah, I saw
Sorry,
that story,
on.
And I just thought it was funny that it was a horse girl, too. That's what the tie-in here was. Well, first of all, have we heard whether the winner of the Kentucky Derby is going to be heading, American Pharoah is going to be heading for sure to the second leg? Do we know?
He's going to the Preakness without a doubt.
Okay.
I think the next day they had posted kind of where the horses were going to go. And most of them that were up there were going for the Preakness, including Dortmund, which to me, I think he's more of a distance horse. I would, you know, why tire him out for the Preakness? But whatever, that's what they're going to do. What was really cool is that my pick, who didn't come through in the end, finished in eighth, Mukhtahij, he actually was going to go back to Europe. Well, they've changed their minds. He's going to stay here for the Belmont. He's going to be here June 6th, and Mike Peacock confirmed yesterday that he will be aiming for the Belmont, so they're going to stay here in the United States for a couple more weeks. So I'm excited because I really like that horse, and I really like how they're training him, and I like how they act around him, and I just think he's just a nice pony, so hopefully he'll do come in second place behind American Pharoah, and we'll have a Triple Crown winner.
They're going to the Belmont, so they're hoping he's more of a long-distance racer?
Yeah, I think that's what they think. Apparently he likes the longer distances, so makes sense for the mile and a half and the Belmont, so that's what they're going to do. I'm so excited.
So it also looks like while we're on racing that NBC had, 16 million people watching? Is that what it was?
It was crazy. 16 million people on a Saturday afternoon. Now, they say viewers, but does that count, Glenn, when they play it at a bar and the entire bar is watching? Or is that
I think
just
that
like
counts
one
as one.
Viewer?
I think it only counts as one.
So even more people than that. I mean, the Kentucky Derby is such a part of our everyday existence, it seems. So 16 million viewers, and they're saying that it peaked for the race at 17.9 million viewers. And I thought it was funny that they're like, this is the most we've had, the most watched Saturday afternoon sporting event in 2015 since January 10th. And that was the AFC divisional playoff game. Okay, the AFC, that's a football thing. Divisional playoff game. It attracted.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. I had to think about it. AFC. What does AFC stand for? Do you know?
American Football Conference. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'm a dork. Okay, I didn't know that. AFC divisional playoff game. We're excited at 17.9 million viewers. That game had 34 million viewers. That's crazy. I didn't watch. I was not one of those that watched both, clearly. So anyway, it was a big one. It's actually why the interest this year? Because it was actually the biggest crowd the Derby's ever had as well. So I don't know.
I don't know, because there really wasn't any, super fantastic, rags to riches stories. Wasn't that story this year.
I have a theory. The most packed that the Kentucky Derby had ever been prior to this year was the year after Secretariat. So I think Secretariat's victory got all the people the next year to want to go. And then California Chrome was such a popular horse that maybe this happened again because of that. Maybe he made more people come to the Derby. It was, who knows? I don't know. It's interesting to think about. Another horsey news story for you, Glenn. Speaking of Rolex, we're going to talk to hopefully Bunny Sexton here in a minute. I have a Rolex injury update. Mighty Nice, Philip Dutton's horse, was withdrawn after cross country. He picked his way through the, he rubbed his way through the cross country course in an amazing fashion, of course, but still, he actually hurt his stifle on the cross country course, and he was sore the next morning, so they didn't jump him. It was discovered that he has a small bone chip on his stifle. Small bone chip on his stifle, mighty nice Philip Dunn's horse. So what they do is they decide that he needs surgery. So he goes to University of Pennsylvania's New Bolton Center, obviously where Barbara was. The vets are just incredible at New Bolton. And he's getting ready for surgery, and they're like, let's look at it again. They realize the bone chip is outside of the joint, and they're just going to let it heal. So no surgery for Mighty Nice and Philip Dutton. So his barn name is Happy. So they say Happy came right back home to the farm and has been upgraded to a 3-week period of rest, and the prognosis is extremely good. And they're so grateful to everyone for sending their well wishes and good thoughts to Happy. It definitely works, and he'll be out there doing what he loves soon. That was from Philip's Facebook page. So that's pretty exciting. I love it. I'm glad he's going to be okay.
Yay. Well, good job. Good, good, good. Well, you know, I have one other one here for you, too, and that is that thehorse.com does their little polls, and they get usually 500-600 people that respond to their polls, and I thought this one was interesting. They asked what you do on vacations. Do your vacations include horses or not? And, you know, we kind of had this conversation a couple times before. When we had our big horse farm, Jennifer and I had 25 horses. We used to go on vacations, and I used to insist, no horses. I don't want to see a horse on vacation. And Jennifer was usually at the point where she didn't want to see a horse either. And I know you just went away a couple of weekends ago. It's like, I don't want to see a horse. I just want the pool. And you were glad to be away from, you know, shoveling shit for a little while. Well, this had 571 respondents, 44%. Said they spend their vacation days at home with their horses doing horse-related chores around the property.
God love horse people.
Yeah, 17% said they use their vacation days to go camping, trail riding, or visit bed and breakfast with their horses, which we've never done that. 15% said they use their vacation days for horse shows and or clinics, and 8% said they go on vacations that include horse-related trips and activities, while only 15% said they do not use their vacation days for horse-related trips. So only 15% out of 571 respondents take non-horsey trips.
You know, I was going to say that one this past weekend was definitely something that is not normal for me. I'm always taking either, you know, we went to Spain to ride horses. I want to ride horses everywhere I go, and I would say that I'm one of those people that spend their vacation days either at horse shows or on riding vacations. Sorry, I qualify in that.
I was kind of surprised at those results. I really was. I thought it'd be more 50-50. Now, maybe this is, you know, the husbands are off playing golf and not involved with the horses. I don't know, but I was just surprised. I thought it would be higher than that.
Well, Jennifer, do you have thoughts on this?
Yes, I think that the respondents are the people who are reading horse.com, and there is, in fact, in 25% of those 25% of those respondents lied. There is a family vacation that involves an amusement park and no horses, but the horse person reading horse.com does not consider that vacation. Therefore, they did not consider it in, you know, it's their personal time off is always with a horse. But when the whole family goes along, they're going to Hershey Park. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
No, so know your audience is what Jennifer's saying.
Yeah. It's not a vacation unless there's a horse in it.
Yeah, it's true that only the truly horse addicted are reading thehorse.com. I mean,
you know, I got to say, though, I used to always want to ride local horses when I would go on vacations. And I realized that that is a very bad idea, simply because, like, when I went to Jamaica, I'm like, oh, horseback riding on the beach. And then you get to Jamaica's horses that you want to ride on the beach, and you really all you want to do is feed them. It was terrible. try not to, you know, I'll go on my dude ranch vacations where there's like knowledgeable horse people, but I've learned in like basically third world countries, don't go ride horses. It's just not going to work out for your heart.
Yeah. All right,
I really
let's
like
take
the idea of a horsey vacation where I don't have to take care of the horse. All I have to do is ride it. I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude ranch. Go to a dude ranch. Diamond D or Triangle X, one of those, like, awesome.
All right, let's take a break for Back on Track, our sponsor for today's show. We really appreciate them, and we'll be back. Hopefully we'll have Bunny Sexton with us in just a minute.
Michelle Gibson is one of today's top dressage talents. She was on the bronze medal dressage team at the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta, and she won the 2006 Collecting Gates Farm USCF National Intermediaire 1 Championship in Gladstone, New Jersey.
For my horses, I use the cooler for after, before and after work. I find that they cool off better, and that when I use it before, they warm up a little bit easier. And I know that they're going to come out with their back softer and more supple after having the blankets on. I use the quilted wrap under the bandages on a lot of my horses. Whether they have an injury or whether they're just stocking up and need some support overnight, I use it on all of them. I recommend the Back on Track, the whole line of products, to all of my clients.
And of course, you can find all the Back on Track products at backontrackproducts.com, and also search for Back on Track on Facebook. You can find all of the products over there as well. And yeah, I did want to mention too that Dr. Wendy Ying sells them also on her website at drwendyying.com. She's a big believer in Back on Track, in addition to acupuncture and chiropractic and everything they do in their practice. They recommend Back on Track products to their patients that need them, both dog, people, and horse. So you can find them all there at drwendyying.com. All right, Jamie, I think our guest is ready.
Fantastic. Well, I'm really excited. I've been fortunate enough to be an eventer here on the West Coast and get to watch Bunny Sexton in clinics, and she's out on her horse, Rise Against at Galway Downs. Wherever she is, she gets the crowd going. She gets cheers. People love her, and I'd like to welcome her to the show. Thanks for getting up early. Good morning, Bunny.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for joining us. You're one of those eventers that people just cheer for. I don't know what you did to everybody, but we
I don't know either. I don't know
you.
Either, but I think it's because I love it so much, and I think it strikes a chord with a lot of people because they're very enthusiastic as well, and I think that's just contagious.
Well, your enthusiasm is definitely probably what gets everybody going, and it's so fun to watch you with your horses. And tell us, first of all, congratulations on completing your first 4-star.
My gosh, thank you so much. It was heaven. It was absolute heaven.
Now, for those who don't know, and I'm sorry to throw this out there, Bunny just completed her first 4-star at the age of 54 years old on a 16-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred. Oh, you're not? Sorry, am I wrong?
It's still October. It's okay.
53. on her off-the-track thoroughbred Rise Against. And tell us how it went.
Well, he was fantastic from the time we got there till the time we left. He was very relaxed. I stayed at a beautiful farm, 3-day farms, and he was so relaxed in that atmosphere. Unfortunately, in dressage, he had a blow-up that brought our test score down. But I think the whole relaxed atmosphere and how attentive everyone was to how the horses were cared for was just incredible. So I from the very start, I thought, you know what, we can do this.
So you are in dressage. I think I read that you had a little blow up and warm up, and he went in there pretty tense. So you finished your dressage test. What is it like walking in and walking out of that arena?
It really makes it very, very special. He actually didn't blow up so much in the warm up. I asked for a change with a spur, unfortunately, out of habit. and he really can't take spur in the canter movements, and that's when he lost it in the test. His trot work was very good, and, you know, I had very high hopes. He did. He was lovely coming down center line, and the trot work was going great, and then all of a sudden I asked for that first change, and I felt that change in him, and I knew, okay, we're just going to have to keep him in the sandbox till the end of the test. But riding in now the stadium, the people are just wonderful. You know, you could have the worst test on earth, and people are still going to support you, and that's what I felt all weekend long, was it was just you were getting support for the work you were doing and how hard you were trying.
Well, you know, every single person in that crowd will never make it as far as you did. Even the desire may be there, you know, to do what you did, even at I don't think 53 is that old. So I'm going to kind of drop
either,
the fact.
Hey, I've been there with you. I'm 53 too. But I got to tell you, Bunny, I can't imagine having the energy to do what you did. I just can't.
Well, you know, there were 60-year-olds riding as well. It just wasn't their first one.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about, like, bruise, David. I mean, you know, you are inspiring to women to let them know you can do your very first Rolex at 53. There might be hope for me is what I'm understanding out of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because the question for me was I live in a small town, and I've had students that have ended up doing 4 stars, but they've gone on to other places and done it with the help of people from bigger cities and gone to the East Coast and gone to Europe. And I just kind of never really understood that it was not impossible. And it was really Bea de Grazia just telling me, you know, you can do anything you want to do, that got me thinking, gosh, you mean I don't have to stop when I go advanced? Because usually around here I get my horses to intermediate or advanced, and then they go to my students. And I still have my original advanced horse in my pasture. So I just didn't know what boundaries were breakable. And it took her telling me that to realize, gosh, you know, maybe it isn't an impossibility. And truthfully, you know, if I'd known that in my 20s, I probably would have gone. But I didn't know, and it worked out great. I have 4 great children, and, you know, things happen when they do, and I don't feel any less fit now. I feel more fit than I did when I was younger. So there you have it.
So 4 kids. Oh, my gosh, you're such an inspiration. This is fantastic. So even being, you know, over the age of 22 and being a mother, you can actually get yourself to Rolex. Oh, my gosh. I just adopted a Mustang Bunny, and Glenn has been giving me a hard time about getting him to Rolex. So maybe
awesome.
I can do it.
Mustangs are awesome. We actually have had a lot of Mustangs come through here, and they almost always have beautiful movement, and they're really cute jumpers. You just don't want, with a Mustang, they remember, so you don't want to make big mistakes. I had a student put a loose girth on, and the saddle went around the flanks, and that took another month to undo. So just be careful, but otherwise, they're brilliant.
I could see that happening for sure. So maybe, Glenn, maybe you're right. Thor and I could make our way to Rolex.
That's right. I only have
Theodore O'Connor.
There
yes.
you go. Hey, Bunny, I gave her 3 years. I thought I was being generous. I gave her 3 years.
Yeah, you might want to give her 4 or 5 just to be a little nice, you know, just to give the horse time to develop. You want the muscles, right?
All right.
I love it. Well, Bunny, let's move on to cross country. How did cross country go with Rise Against?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm not going to lie, I was slightly terrified because it was raining really hard in the warm-up and there were a couple holds. They had announced to go to bigger studs, and I don't have any bigger studs, so I was very, very unsure about the footing. So I tried to do as many, you know, slow-motion tight turns in the warm-up just to see how the ground was holding. But even so, that doesn't tell you how it's going to go when you go onto ground that's already been chewed up by other horses. When I started off, the second fence rode a little bit tough, and I thought this is good because it's going to get him ready for the combination at 4. The second fence was quite a bit bigger, and it was going away from the barn. So he, all the way through the first water, he was just very right on. And I was myself really worried about the direct route in the coffin that came next, the big brushes with the ditch in the middle. And I just went around the corner and said, okay, this is when we decide whether we can do it or not. And although I had to do a little steering, he absolutely looked for the flags and was spot on. And I gave him the biggest hug after that fence. It was thrilling. And so from that point on, I knew that this was not above us, but I was also extremely careful on the turns. Even so, the head of the lake went really well. The going through the, we jumped through the circular brush and had to angle a brush. That went beautifully. Then I went to the Range Rover Hollow, and the approach was good. His jumps were great. Everything came right as it should, and I went to turn right, and his hind legs went out from under him, and it scared the crowd, and it scared me. So I slowed down a bit after that, and the rest of the fences rode just spot on and beautifully, but I did have some time because of it.
Wow, that's unbelievable. So you kick around in a rainy, muddy, first four-star ever, and all you had was time.
Yes. Yes,
that's
I was absolutely awesome. I mean, I literally dropped the reins before the last fence and just let him canter over it. I was so thrilled with him.
That's so fantastic. Oh, my gosh, goosebumps. So here you are. The next morning, you have to go to jog, which, you know, is tremendously difficult to pass a jog after a day like that. You pass the jog. You're on to show jumping. What are you thinking right now?
It was a dream because he had gotten some kind of spider bite after dressage, so I almost didn't get to ride cross country because he had had a big leg, and it was just one thing after another, and it was unbelievable to me, and I thought, okay, we can do this. You know, in the past, I've always been good at show jumping, but if I'm going to get nervous and do something totally uncharacteristic, it's in show jumping. So my thing was just walk my own course and just think of one fence at a time. Just take it one fence at a time. And he was spectacular in the warm-up. He had a little issue when there was a tarp laying in it there so they could make a Liverpool, and somebody picked it up while I was jumping the vertical next to it and started dragging it. That wasn't really good. He got a bit upset about that. So then I thought, oh, my gosh, what if I go in there and he doesn't want to do the Liverpool? So I overrode the Liverpool, which he cleared by a mile, and then I didn't bring him back enough, and he took the fence after it, the vertical down. So that was totally my fault because I had terror in my heart over the moving tarp in the warm-up. But he was just spot on. He's such a clever jumper, and I just love show jumping him.
See, that's what I love about her, Glenn, is she is just so real. Like, we just got a real depiction of what actually happened in her brain while she was riding, and it's something that is so normal that we would all do it. We would all screw that up, and I would still want to kick in the teeth the person that moved the tarp. I mean, seriously, you're moving the tarp while I'm warming up? God,
yeah, that's one thing I found in the 3 and 4 stars. Everybody has a team of people that moves the jumps. And even when I was at Bromont, literally I'd be cantering up to a fence and another crew would be disassembling it and making it either from a 5-foot fence to a bounce. And you're yelling heads up and they just are totally, they are working for someone else and they are in the zone. So I just have to realize everybody is very intent on their rider and it wasn't malicious or anything like that. It just happens. But unfortunately for my horse, he's not fond of plastic that drags. So he didn't get
that
Liverpool, apparently.
The moral of that story is you have to have a bigger crew. I mean bigger. Physically bigger.
He needs security.
That is true. Well, B was in there after, you know, that had happened before B got in there and she was very good. You know, she's very good to just leave me alone and ask me what I need. And usually all I need is her to tell me, if I'm tense in some way, if I'm crooked in the dressage, B is just wonderful about not saying anything unless something really needs to be said. And she was just wonderful.
My gosh, I'm so excited for you and I'm so proud of you and just congratulations. I can't wait to see you out at Galway and give you a big hug and let you know how
great.
Definitely. I certainly will. I'll come find you. And I couldn't be more excited for you. And what is now next for Rise Against?
Well, we're going to, right now he's got time off. So I'm just basically riding him bareback with lots of bareback pads because he's got quite the thoroughbred back and he's doing some grazing and he's probably going to go to my friends and swim a little bit. And then we're going to go to the 3-star, in Montana. So we're going to do that one next. So he's going to have fun there, and then he'll go to Galway, and then next year, who knows? I would like to go to Europe, but that's a lot of fundraising away. So,
Well, we definitely wish you the best, and we'll keep up to date. Do you have a website or anything that people can find you?
Yes, I do, but it is just getting set up now. So if you do a search engine under Bunny Sexton, it will come up. It's almost finished, and I do have my regular Facebook page as well as Shepherd Ranch. My maiden name is Shepherd, and I live on Shepherd Ranch where we have 2 horse trials. So all those things will bring up ways to get a hold of me.
All right, fantastic. Bunny Sexton, thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you again very soon, and we'll keep up to date with you.
So much fun.
All right,
thanks,
thank
Bunny.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, she was delightful. That was fun to have her on, and I just can't imagine at my age, which she is, doing that for the first time. Wow.
Can I just
terrific.
Tell you that I've been dying to go to Shepherd Ranch's horse trial for my entire life, and I didn't know that she actually owned it and lived there, and it is in probably the most beautiful place on the entire world, and that's Santa Ynez. So
we need to
go visit Flag Is Up Farms.
Yeah,
at the same
I was going to say that's
go
where Monty's
Friday
place is,
Shepherd.
Right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all in the same valley. Yeah, that's right.
Well, we're going to invite ourselves.
While Jamie's drooling over that, we're going to go to our next guest who's lined up here. And he's I think he's been coming on the show since the very beginning. We love talking to him, love hanging out with him at the American Equestrian Trade Association when he goes there. Don't like going out to dinner with him so much because he always gets us freaking lost. That's Uncle Jimmy of Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. How are you, Uncle Jimmy?
Good morning, Glenn. How are you guys?
Good.
I like going to dinner with him. He always buys, and he won't let you pay for anything.
It just might take you a while to get there. That's
Oh, my. Hey, I was listening to your last caller.
Yeah,
and I was really impressed because you know there is life past 20-30s. Here I am; I'll be 63 in May, at the end of this month, and I'm still riding with my hair on fire and grabbing for leather. And I have some people that I compete against that are in their 70s, and I can't beat them.
Well, there you go.
What sport do you ride in?
That is. The cowboy mounted shooting.
Oh, that's so cool.
That is right now the fastest growing horse sport in the country.
Yeah, it's going great. It is really going nuts.
I mean, Glenn, it's great. It's a total blast, and it's for the whole entire family. You get to ride horses, you shoot guns, and that night you big campfires, and there's music and dancing, singing, moonshine with kids and dogs running around everywhere. It's total craziness. Did I mention moonshine?
Yeah, you did.
Everyone is so proud of their moonshine that you have to taste a little bit of everybody's, you know. And
that leads to the question, are you making, is that your next line, Uncle Jimmy's Moonshine? Is that the next line?
No, I think I'll pass on that.
He doesn't want to tell anybody
already.
About it.
Well, you know what? Why is alcohol limited to us humans? You make horse treats. You could make a treat that's laced with moonshine.
Well, you know, actually, there is a big fan in the UK. His name is Jonathan. He stops and sees us every time we're there. He emails me all the time. And he would love to have us make squeezy buns with Guinness. His horse loves Guinness, and I'm whatever.
I'll eat buns. I'll start eating squeezy buns.
Yeah.
Well, it has that little pocket in it, the squeezy buns. You could just inject a little Guinness or a little moonshine in there. That'd be great.
Yeah. It that reminds me. Yeah, we could do that.
Instead of a
common cookie. We could call it Uncle Jimmy's Num Nuts. No, or something like that. I don't know, you know. But
that's why he does what he does, Glenn, because he's a genius.
He knows the marketing. He just knows the marketing. I like Num Nuts, actually. That's pretty good. I know my pony could use some before I take him out. It would just chill him out a little bit. It'd be perfect.
Yes, that's what you need, a little calming. And then it doesn't help for you to have a little calmness, too. Just like she said, that nervousness goes right through you, through the saddle, right into your horse.
That is true. That is true. Well,
very
Jimmy,
true.
You're doing this mounted shooting. I know you're really getting into it now. You used to ride and used to do the used to do some cow stuff and all of that, but now with mounted shooting, is it something that you see yourself doing forever now? You like it that
much? Oh, as long as I can do it, I am going to keep with it. I just this is the time of year. This is my favorite time. I do my first one this weekend. And I'm just so excited, and the horse is doing real well for me. And like we talked about, when you get a new horse, it takes a long time to bond with that horse, to know and have him know what you want. You know, it's not an overnight grab a horse and go for it. You know, you need time on the saddle with him. So.
And especially with what you're doing, I mean, you're multitasking and trying to accomplish a run in 12 to 25 seconds time. There's not a lot of time there to adjust. So you really, truly have to know what each other's doing to be successful in that sport.
Absolutely. And once I had, one of the top riders work with me last week. Excuse me, one second. Got a frog in my throat. He said, Jimmy, when you have one more win and you go into level three, and when you start getting level three through six, you can't be thinking about what your horse is doing. Your horse, when you turn your head, he knows that's where you're going, and he just feels it. And you have to concentrate solely on one thing, and that's your shooting. The horse will bond with you. That's exactly what will happen. And he's actually starting to where when I turn and I look, that's where he's headed. So I don't even think about, you know, what I'm doing with him. He knows what I want. So it's pretty exciting, very exciting.
Is there, Uncle Jimmy, because I am in the quest for learning about sports that make more money than I do, do you get prize money?
Yes. I wouldn't want to retire on it. You know? No, I don't think you want to retire on it. But, yeah, you do. There's buckles. There's paybacks and so forth. But, you know, the whole thing is the sport.
It just seems to me like a lot of guys that do roping, a lot of ropers are turning to mounted shooting, and they're kind of changing their sport. And I just didn't know if it was a money thing, or is it just a weird thing, or is it
just
a desire?
Guns thing. You get to shoot guns. Yeah. You just don't appreciate that, how fun that is. You get to, now, I've never done it from horseback, but we shoot a lot, and I can see the appeal.
It is. It's the love of the sport, period. I mean, like I say, you can't retire on the money, and that's just an added bonus, but it is strictly just a blast, you know.
Well,
so.
Before we let you go here, I got to ask you, you said, I think I saw on your Facebook, didn't you hurt yourself, or you have an injury that you're trying to deal with?
Yeah, I'm going into the season with a torn rotator cuff. And I went to the doctor, and of course they said, well, we're going to have to cut you. And I said, I see. And I was talking to my equine chiropractor, and he had three tears. And I said, how can you maneuver those horses with three tears in your shoulder? He goes, I did not go under the knife. I went to a massage therapist and an acupuncture specialist. So I started doing it. And believe me, people out there, if you have a problem like that, try alternatives. And this is really working. I mean, I can rotate my arm in full circles with no pain, no nothing. It's amazing. You might think it's weird, but it works. I can tell you that right now. So try it. At least try it before. You can always go under the knife, you know. So try something alternative other than going under the knife. So
well, I got to tell you that our friend Dr. Wendy Ying would be very happy to hear you say that. So now, also, let's talk a little bit about Uncle Jimmy's brand products. Of course, the best of boredom treats in the world. What's coming up? Is there anything new?
Yeah, we are now pretty excited. We have a machine. It's being built. It's going to take a while. And we're going to come out with a granola bar for horses. There's going to be a lot of good stuff in it. I think we're thinking about calling it something like Weeby Oats and Crap or something like that. I don't know. But and then we have, of course, the squeezy buns. They're going to make them different. And we're thinking about putting a calming agent in there. We're working with veterinarians. We have a couple of veterinarians that are very good friends of ours. And I've been taking my horses to them. And they give us a lot of insight on what's out there and what we should do and what would be good to do. And so we're thinking about doing something with a calming agent, glucosamine, just different things we're working on right now. But this is going to be coming up hopefully this summer, but no later than the end of the year, I believe. And it all depends on how quick we get this machine. But that's where we're at with that.
I want to tell you something, and I'm going to give you a little heads up. I have I had a boyfriend who was a veterinarian, and he turned out to be like a super big loser. So I'm going to tell you what he was going to do, his big idea, and then you can steal it. He was going to make what he called treatables, and it was going to be like a cookie with a gram of bute in it. So you should totally steal that with your veterinarian friends and call it treatables and go directly back to him and tell him I gave his idea away.
Oh, my. That's
hell
fantastic.
Has no fury like a woman scorned.
Boy, I know that one. I know that one. I have a very close shooting friend that says, watched me talking to my lady, Miss Kelly, and we were having a little discussion of different ways of going about this pattern to shoot. And she was really uptight a little bit, and she snapped back. And my buddy says, you know, you have to learn to bow your head and say, I'm just a man, I'm not worthy, and back up bowed. And so that's what I've been doing lately, and it works. It works. So I understand all that.
Well,
Glenn, you're married. You ought to know that.
Yeah, I'm not saying a word because she's on the line here. Well, Uncle Jimmy, thank you so much. Uncle-Jimmy.com. You can find all the you don't even need to go there. You can find them at every store in America, it seems like now. Every tack shop, every feed store has them, all the different products. And we're going to look for the new line of Uncle Jimmy's Healthy Buns coming
up. In the meantime, have everyone, why don't you jump over to Uncle Jimmy's Facebook? We're going to be running a regular contest, by the way, as well.
Okay.
And go from there.
Uncle Jimmy's Facebook page. Just look up Uncle Jimmy's. You'll find it. And we'll post a link to it on our Facebook page. And we appreciate your support all these years, Uncle Jimmy. I think we met you the first time we went to Ada and had a blast. And you've been with us. We've been together, I think, almost 7 years now. So
Yes. Thank
you so much for all your support.
I thank you too, Glenn. And I appreciate it. And look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you,
guys.
Jim.
See ya.
He's always a lot of fun.
Guy.
I know. I love it. You should go to dinner with him at Ada sometime. All right. We're going to take a break for our song, and then we're going to come back. Hopefully, Victoria's supposed to be here. Hopefully, she gives us a call and can get through, and we get to talk to her at Horse and Country TV. But first, we're going to hear our song of the day, which is called Find Your Way.
Spread your wings and fly. Jump into the sky. For the very first time, you're gonna leave yourself sorrows behind. As long as you stand on your feet, no one else can pull you down, 'cause you are stronger than you know, even when you feel alone. As long as the sun rises every day, you're gonna find your way. You're gonna find
Well, that's called Find Your Way. The singer is Fleur Magalai, who is out of Zurich, Switzerland, and she is a wonderful singer as a horse girl. And she just came out with a new single that I hope that she's supposed to send over to us so that we can play that as well. And we're hoping that we can get her on the show someday. It's hard for us to do foreign guests, but we'd love to have her on. She's absolutely delightful. I've been corresponding with her and her father by email, and they're so excited to get their music out here to the United States, and I think she's absolutely wonderful. So good for her. She's got some great songs. Did you like her? Jamie, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm right here. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, that was beautiful. I really loved that song. I mean, that was gorgeous.
Yeah, so I can't wait to hear her next one. It's supposed to be coming out here very shortly. So we're hoping to get her on, and she's trying to make a career over there in Europe with her singing, and she just has a beautiful voice. So we'll try that. But, you know, first we have to talk to Europe in a different way. And I think Jennifer is getting her set up right now. Last week we tried to get to Victoria, but she had called too late, and we had another guest coming up, and we couldn't get to her. But we like to have her on every week, and we're going to – Jennifer is getting her set up right now.
Well
– Did you – go ahead.
No, I was – go ahead. Perfect.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And this is the time of the week when we do welcome Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. Hey, Victoria.
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry we couldn't make it work out last week, and it's probably our fault, but we appreciate you being here this week and not getting too mad at us.
I'm sure it was my fault, but thank you.
So what's happening over there? I saw on Facebook that you competed your horse over the weekend.
I did. I did a dressage competition on the bank holiday Monday. And she's getting to be a bit better behaved. She seems to be growing up a little bit. And I'm almost getting to the stage where I can actually ride her in a dressage tent instead of just trying to minimize the explosions. So, yeah, I was happy with her.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it's like, you know, it only takes 200 to 300 times of taking them to a show when they realize, oh, this is not so bad.
Exactly.
I get it.
And it's slowly happening. I'm trying to trick her by doing lots of dressage in between going to events that she doesn't expect to go cross country into gallops, just find it all very boring and unexciting.
Yeah, good luck with that. Oh gosh, so what is happening on Horse and Country TV? There is a link you guys have, and I clicked on the story. And it's a teddy bear sitting on a pony. Now, come on, the cuteness factor, seriously.
It is very sweet. It's a rescue charity over here. Sends this little pony, and it's coming up. It's 3, and they've started to do some work with it. But they're short of a small enough jockey, so they've had to compromise by using a giant teddy bear. So basically, they've done all the backing and breaking of a giant teddy bear, and now we're looking to find a new home for this little pony and hopefully a rider with some degree of balance instead of a big, floppy, soft toy.
I just love that no matter what country you're in, baling twine saves the day for everybody. This teddy bear, because it's just such a cute little fat little pony, this teddy bear is strapped to this pony. The legs of the teddy bear are long, and it's shoved down through the stirrups. There's baling twine around the neck, around the front of the saddle, under the saddle, through the back, around the thing. There's a stick. So it's actually quite clever.
It is indeed, yes. Baler twine is the equestrian essential number one item, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's a great idea to get them trained. You know, there's a, you know, Monty Roberts that you guys have on your website. He sells those big dummies to put on horses, but they're like $700. This is actually way cheaper.
It is. I mean, I'm obviously not sure about, I'm sure Monty Roberts dummies are a lot more stable and realistic, but I think pretty innovative idea there.
Very inventive, very inventive. Now, the next story I have to talk to you about is one that you wrote on horseandcountry.tv. It's under the news section. And you guys are soliciting for a new talent.
We are indeed. Now, everyone that's going to badminton this weekend and wants to go and explore the shopping zone has to make a beeline to the Horse and Country stand, because we are auditioning for a new presenter who will then, if they're chosen, will get the chance to interview a top rider and spend the day with Jenny Riddle during filming of her show. So it's quite an exciting opportunity.
And by they get to spend the day with Jenny, they get to spend the day with you as well.
Sometimes. I'm not always at all the events that Jenny goes to. I do the kind of very biggest ones, and Jenny goes to some other smaller ones in between. So they are probably spared the horror of having to spend the day working.
Well, Jamie, we would be good at this. We would be good. Yeah. We should apply. We should do a test, because we would be good at this.
Well, I was going to say Glenn would be good at this. And so I was going to offer up him to give you an audition right now. Is that okay?
Indeed, absolutely.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do an audition. Okay, so apparently we have choices. We can pick one of three topics while we're doing our audition. Why I love badminton, which is badminton horse trial. Why I love my horse, or why I love Horse and Country TV. I'm going to do why I love badminton. I'm going to make believe I'm there, okay? I got this. I'm going to make it believe I'm there, and I'm holding the mic, and it's windy, and it's raining because it's England. It doesn't have to be raining, but most of the time it is. So anyway, I'm there at badminton, and here's my report. Glenn the Geek here, reporting live from Badminton Horse Trials, one of the most beautiful horse trials in all the world. This place is packed. There must be 50,000 people here, and about 25,000 of them are horse husbands. And let me tell you, there's one reason and one reason only that they're here, and that is tight breeches. Yes, that's the only reason that us horse husbands go to even badminton, is for the tight breeches. And that's it. That's my report from badminton. What do you think? How'd I do?
Well, we're going to stop the search now. I think we found our TV talent. Although, you're going to have a bit of a commuting over to Britain to interview top riders. And also, I'd like to point out that men go to badminton for a very important reason, and that's to carry the shopping bags.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't kid yourself. We're carrying the shopping bags while looking down, looking at tight breeches. So do not kid yourself, all right? And the other thing is alcohol. There's alcohol, tight breeches. There's two reasons why I never complained too much about going to horse shows in the early days. I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know what, Victoria? You can be nice, because he can't afford to fly over to England. So you can. That was really sweet of you to say that he gets the job. But we know the truth.
Okay.
That was a total disaster, Glenn. Total disaster. Embarrassing, actually.
Tight breeches.
Now, finally, another story. The kind of the big story going on right now is Velegro. We love anything Velegro, so tell us what's going on.
Velegro is writing his own biography, or at least Carl Hester is going to write it for him, and this needs to be met with real excitement. I'm hoping there's loads and loads of photographs, since especially when you hear the story from the horse's mouth, and I like that your little boy is getting excited now at the thought of the Velegro biography. So, yes, sir, I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And it comes off the heels of Carl Hester's biography last year. So more of the same, and some exclusive, never-seen-before photographs of the champion horse.
So
wow,
it's going to be it's going to be a documentary type?
I imagine it as being a very beautiful coffee table book.
Okay.
But we'll see. It's quite hard to tell his story.
Right.
You can't tell it. So, yes, I'm hoping lots of pictures and memories from Charlotte, Carl, and everyone who's connected with the horse.
Very good. And I assume she's made her way back to England after her trip here.
I think she's in Canada. I could be wrong. But I'm fairly sure she's been over in Canada doing some clinics. I keep seeing lots of posts on Facebook. And yeah, she's been doing really popular clinics. And there's a great picture of her riding a Lusitano, and it's waving its leg in the air, and Charlotte's sitting on top of it. So very cool. Worth checking out her page.
Well, now before we let you go, let's backtrack a little to badminton. You know, we were joking around about it and everything, but we have a lot of new listeners who maybe aren't familiar with the badminton horse trials, but it is truly. I was not kidding. It is one of the most beautiful places ever to have a horse trials, and it's just very, very special. So tell us why you like it. Why is it so special to you?
It's just the most historic event, and you know, it's. When it first launched in the 1950s, we said it was the world's premier horse event. And, you know, I think it's lived up to that reputation ever since. And we have the trot up this afternoon, and you guys call it the jog up. Is that right?
Yeah, we call it the jog. Yep, that's right.
And that's the jog. And it's held in front of Badminton House, which is this most beautiful state home in Gloucestershire. And so it's just from the minute you arrive, it's all kind of pomp and ceremony. And they do the jog, and then the riders go to a drinks party in the house, and the ground is just beautiful, and it's just such a huge event. And when you go there on cross country day, you can hardly move for people, and they're all wearing tweed and Barber and Wellingtons. it is quite a sight to behold.
Now tell us about badminton as far as the estate is concerned. The house is one of those mammoth houses that you'll see in pictures in England. It is a manor house or a castle, I'm not sure which, but has 100 rooms and all that stuff. Is it still being used by the same family that had it for years? Is it open to the public? What's happened to the house now?
I think so. I mean, I think it's the Duke of Beaufort, I think, who lives in Badminton House. And yeah, I think they still live there. And it's thriving. And it must help that they have about 100,000 visitors every May in terms of the running cost of what is no doubt a very expensive property to run. So yes, it's still lived in by the same family as far as I know.
Have you been inside of it?
I haven't. Lots of my colleagues have at Horse and Country, but they don't let me in. I'm not smart enough.
Poor Victoria. It must be something else to see inside, too, because it's been there for ages and ages and ages, and it just looks so cool. You have so many cool buildings and houses and historic places. You really do.
And it's really exciting in this country that most of the events are held at places like this, and you get to visit a different stately home every weekend, and there's just some beautiful houses out there. So very, very lucky.
Well, thank you so much, Victoria. We appreciate you joining us this week. Of course, it is horseandcountry.tv, and you can find it online as well as you're in a bunch of different countries now on TV networks. Not the United States yet, but every week I say that I'm just hoping that I implant to the gods that we want you here.
Well, we have another launch coming up this summer, which is very exciting. And so, yeah, one step closer. You never know what one more country, and the United States might be next. So we will see.
Thank you, Victoria. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Victoria.
This time next week, we'll know who's won badminton. Exciting.
Yay. Oh, all right,
great.
Cool. Well, we'll look forward to your report.
Right. Indeed. Speak to you then.
All right. Bye. That is cool. That would be fun to go to sometime, wouldn't it?
Indeed. I want to talk
indeed.
Like her. Indeed. Indeed it would. Indeed.
She has the best accent. She really does. And it's fun to listen to her talk. Well, that's about it for today's show. We are going to be back. What's tomorrow, Jen? Oh, tomorrow is a best of day. And then Friday, we're going to be back with really bad ads on Friday. I was looking at the numbers. I was doing some of the numbers for the first quarter here, Jamie, and we literally get double the listeners on Friday. So it's obvious that you guys love really bad ads. So submit yours. If you have not sent one in yet, what are you waiting for? It doesn't cost you anything, but what, about 5 minutes. Go to Craigslist. Go to the, what is it, Farm and Home or Home and Farm or whatever that section.
Farm and Garden, I think.
Farm and Garden. Yeah, go to the Farm and Garden section. Just look through. You can send anything from the Farm and Garden section to us and send it to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. But the important part is, and some of you don't get your ads up because you don't do this, You've got to put copy and paste the entire ad into the email. If you just send us a link, it's probably dead by the time Jennifer gets to it. So if you're not seeing your ads or not hearing them on Fridays, that's probably why. So get your ads in today. We'll have a great prize for you on Friday. And, of course, you're always entered for the EquityMFG.com Maduro Forks, the Flex and Fork and the Shake and Fork. You're always entered for those. So make sure you get your ads into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. Don't post them on our Facebook page because we might miss them. So get them into her. We appreciate that. We appreciate everybody that takes time to do that. I don't, you know, I used to be, and remember in the early days when we first started this, you used to, half the ads came from Jamie because we didn't get enough submissions. Well, we don't have that problem anymore.
Nope. I don't even look anymore because I started buying too many horses, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I love reading really bad ads. I love you guys going to find the submissions and winning the prizes, and it's one of my favorite things I do all week long. So get your ads in. Thank you guys so much for doing it and making it such a fun segment.
And you're going to be coming to us from a different location Friday.
Live from Oklahoma, baby. Yeah, that reminds me. I need to go to get on a plane. So I love you guys. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
All right. We'll talk to you from Oklahoma.
You going to sing the song?
No, but I'll have it on Friday.